today is found in the Gospel according to John, the 9th chapter. We have in this chapter Jesus passing by and seeing a man that was blind from his birth. In the preceding chapter, we find Jesus in the temple, disputing with the Jews and with the Pharisees, speaking unto them and saying that before Abraham was, he was, and likewise that he made himself equal with God. And because he said these things, the Jews became angry, and they picked up stones, and they were going to stone him. But he hid himself, and he went through the midst of them, and so he passed by. And as he passed by, he saw this man sitting by the wayside there, right near the temple, who had been blind from birth. We see in this, my hearers, the wonderful sovereignty of God, how free and how gracious God is in his dealings with sinners. Here was a man sitting there blind. He didn't know that Jesus was going by. He had never seen Jesus. Whether he had ever heard of him was a question, too. But there he sat. He didn't do like blind Bartimaeus did. This man, he knew that Jesus was going by, and he began to pray and cry that Jesus would have mercy upon him. But this man, he uttered no cry. He did not pray that he would be cured from his blindness. He did not beg either that the Lord would open his soul's eyes and give him to see something of his salvation. A little further on, we read that he was sitting there, and he was a beggar. He sat there begging. In all probabilities, it being the Sabbath day, a lot of people went in and out of the temple on that day, and that was a good day. He gathered probably plenty. Maybe there were many people that made it a custom to give him something on the Lord's day. And he had no realization that Jesus was passing by. And now this man was blind from his birth. How old he was, Scripture does not say, but he must have been at quite an age already, because, according to the Jewish custom, a person was not able to speak for himself until he was 30 years of age. And when they questioned his parents about the matter, why, they said, ask him, he has his age. So he must have been in the neighborhood of about 30 years of age, this man. He had been blind from his birth. What an awful thing it is, my hearers, to be blind. You and I, we all have our sight. Should God take away that blessing and we become blind, how miserable it would be for us. But now this man, he had never seen the light of day. He had been born this way. Picture the parents once. You are parents, you got children. Suppose you brought a child into the world and it was blind. You began to notice that that child didn't see anything. No matter what you tried to do to make it follow your hand or anything of the kind, it had no effect upon the child. It was blind. Isn't that an awful judgment? Huh? If you bring a child into the world and it's misformed or something, the news is spread around, people hear about it. They say, oh, how awful that is. Now just think, if you have children and they're well, they have the use of all their faculties, there's nothing the matter with them, how thankful you should be as parents, right? What maketh your children to differ than this man who was born blind? Only God. He should be thanked, he should be praised. And now just think of your own personal self. You have your eyesight. You have every faculty that you can use every day. God has blessed you with that. And shouldn't you realize more about this every day? Aren't you, for the most part, unthankful concerning these things? Inconsiderate? Never even stopping to think sometimes. You think it just has to be that way. My hearers, have you ever stopped and went into an institution where people have been deprived of their mental faculties, where they're behind doors, where they had to be fed sometimes through a hole in the door. You ever stop to think about that? There are people like that. Maybe you never go visit them places, but there are. And now what maketh you and I to differ that we ain't in there? It's only the goodness of God over us. We're not any better than them poor creatures. Do not believe it. We deserve the very same things if it comes to our sins. But it's the mercy of God that we are what we are. And now my hearers, these disciples that were walking with Jesus, they said, Master, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, these disciples ain't any different than you and I. If something happens to somebody, even in this church, we'll say, I'll just go no further than this congregation. Something happens to somebody. God afflicts them with some kind of an ailment, or some kind of a disease, or they're in an accident. They lose maybe a limb or a leg or something. Right away, we begin to think, well, maybe it was for this sin or for that sin that that person was smitten and struck by God. Oh, we're so quick to judge another person because they're afflicted in this way. Isn't that true? Very true. And my hearers, what do? We forget our own sins. We don't stop to consider our own, but we're looking at somebody else's sins, and we think that's for this and that's for that. Oh, we're such critics sometimes. These disciples were just the same. They wanted to know whether it was this man or whether it was his parents that had done some particular sin, or that this man had been born blind. And now Jesus, he straightens out the minds of these disciples. And he says to them, it was not neither for this man nor for the parents that they had committed any sin, but it was that he might work the works of God who had sent him. For this reason he had come into the world. And Jesus then explains to his disciples that it was for the glory of God that this man was born blind. That's an odd thing, isn't it? How could that be not to the glory of God that a person's born blind? He can't see nothing, can't do anything, has to be helped. But it was that Christ, who was now in the world, should glorify himself and his Father by giving unto this man not only his natural sight, but also spiritual sight. As long as I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. And that's so true. And he was the image of his Father. He concealed the rays of his glory by his humanity. He discovered something of it to the disciples when they were up on the mount. When they seen that, they were filled with wonder and amazement. But here, he was doing the will of his Father. He must work the works of his Father while it was day, because the night was going to come when he could not work anymore. And now Jesus, he bends down and he spits on the ground and he makes clay of the spittle. And he takes this spittle and this clay and he puts it on the eyes of this man. My hearers, this had more of a tendency to make the man blind than to see, right? Why did he do this? Just to prove that it wasn't the mud, it wasn't the clay, but that it was the glory of God that was going to be revealed in the curing of this man from his blindness. God uses the most unlikely means sometimes. I was thinking about that. Clay and the water that was in the pool, Siloam, was to give this man his sight back again. But behind that, it was the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ that went forth and would take away the blindness that that man was afflicted with and give him light again in his retina and give him to see. No oculist in the world could ever do anything like that. And he commanded this man that he should go to the pool Siloam and wash therein. He used then the most unlikely means, clay and water. You know, God uses the most unlikely means yet today. Now, this man sitting by the wayside there, he's a type of the child of God. He is. This man, he didn't know Jesus was going by. He didn't cry to him to be cured of his blindness. He didn't beg him for salvation either. That's you and I, my dear. That's the way we are. We're spiritually blind. And we're not looking for Jesus to go by. We're not praying to him either that he would cure us from our spiritual blindness. And we're not asking him for his salvation. Neither did this man. You see the freeness, the sovereignty of God in this? In what he did to this blind man? Without asking. He just went over to that man. And he did this. This is what he does today, yet, my hearers. Jesus goes by in the preaching of the gospel, in the reading of his precious word. And as he goes by, there's some poor sinner chosen by God from all eternity, loved by God, whose eyes must be opened. It's a miracle, my hearers, if it takes place, believe me. It's only God that can do that. And what a wonderful thing it is when God does this, my hearers. If he ever has done it to you, you'll never forget it. You'll have to praise him as long as you live, and you'll praise him to all eternity that he opened your eyes. And now this man, he was commanded to go to the pool of Siloam. This pool is the type of the means of grace. That's where you and I should come. Come to the means, my hearers. It's there where God opens sinners' eyes. It's using their means. This man had to use these means too. And you must understand that this man was blind. He couldn't see. He had to have somebody to lead him there. And there were many people that followed Jesus just to see the miracles that he did. And most likely a number of people went with this man to the pool to see whether it would take place or not. They were very inquisitive to see whether what Jesus had said unto this man would take place. My hearers, now this man, when he went to this pool, he washed therein at the commandment of Christ. So this pool was southeast of Jerusalem. There were two pools. One was the upper and the lower pool. The upper pool was called the King's Pool, and the lower pool emptied into the brook Kishon. Now these waters had no value for making anyone better. It was just at the commandment of Christ. He was obedient to him, and they led him to that pool, and he washed therein, and he came forth singing. Can't you picture that man in your mind? He never saw. Never. Over 30 years of age, and he never saw anything. Suddenly, he was given to see. He saw the sun. He saw the light of day. He saw the people. He saw the trees. He saw colors. But what struck me the most in my mind was that he saw himself. He never had seen himself. He's blind. And then he saw himself. You know, that's what happens too when God opens his sinner's eyes, my hearers. Then he begins to see himself as he never saw himself before. If God has opened your eyes, he's given you to see your past life. What you did in your past life. Oh, what a sinner you were. What a miserable being you were. You never knew that. You never saw that. Never had any trouble about it. But when God opens your eyes, then you begin to see the past life that's behind you. And not only do you see yourself, but you also see so many things that God was in that you did not realize. Here you were in danger. There you were in danger. There you had an affliction. And God spared you. God raised you up. God was so good to you, even in your sinful past, that it humbles you, breaks your heart, brings you down before God. What a wonder this is, my hearers, when God opens a sinner's eyes. This man, he had his eyes open, and he had never seen Jesus. You know what he looked like? He had heard his voice, but he had never seen him. He's the type of child of God. There may be some sitting here that have heard his voice, but that they have seen him? No. Oh, they're hoping, they're praying that they may be given to see him someday, see the king in his beauty. And now this man, he was led back to the city again. To this man, he had sat at the side there begging. And everybody saw that man. He was well known. And the neighbors, when they saw this man, they said, "Hey, wasn't that the man that was sitting there begging?" Others said, "It's like him." Others said, "It is him." But he says, "I am he." He took it away, the thought of doubt that they had concerning whether it was himself or not. But they were marveled at what had taken place with that man, that he could see. He didn't have to beg anymore. He didn't have to be led anymore to the temple. He was fully qualified now to go out and do as other people did. My hearers, if God opens your eyes and you've led a sinful life, then the neighbors are going to say something like that too. Maybe your own wife, maybe your own husband, they're going to say, "Is that the same man? Is that that same woman that I'm married to? How different they are. I can't understand them. Is it possible that they are the same creature?" Many persons that have been led on the narrow way, they're so changed in their outward life, that so many people say, "Surely, there must have been something happened to that man." Sure, his eyes have been opened. That woman's eyes have been opened. They've been given to see the pathway that they had been going on in nature was going straight to destruction. Now, they couldn't go on any longer in that way. And God opened the eyes of sinners to see the way in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing is when God opens your eyes to see this, my hearers. Oh, the beauty of this precious Christ. Oh, how you long to possess him, and you think soon you're going to have him. And now this man, he was a miracle. He was a wonder to his neighbors. I hope you may become that. Not only to your neighbors, but to yourself too. And now these people, they took this man to the Pharisees, to the Jews. And these Jews, they began to question this man. "Who opened your eyes?" "Well," he says, "a man called Jesus. He put clay on my eyes. He told me to wash in the pool, and I washed and I see." This was a wonder to these Pharisees and to these Jews as well as to the neighbors. These Jews and Pharisees, they could not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They would not believe it. They had now a miracle in the front of them that they had to believe, and still they wouldn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God. These Jews, in olden times, they persecuted the prophets and they slew them. And these same Jews that were living at the time of Christ weren't any different. And these Jews, they thought they were the men. The reason that they wouldn't accept Jesus was because they couldn't believe that his doctrine and his teaching was from heaven. They thought that he should have come to them and that they should have gave him license to preach, and then they would have accepted him. But he had not done that. He did not go to these pious people, the Pharisees and the Jews. They were supposed to be the learned sages of that time. And they would not accept Christ as being the true Messiah. Now they questioned this man about who opened his eyes, and he told them. And now these Jewish people, they wouldn't believe that this man had been blind until they called his parents. They wanted the parents to verify it, that this was their son and that he had been blind. And now these Jews, they had made an agreement amongst themselves that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, they would be cast out of the synagogue. And now these parents of this man, they knew that. They had heard that. And so when they called the parents and asked them, "Is this your son who that was born blind? How is it now that he sees?" "This is our son," they said, "we know that. And that he was born blind, we know that too. But how that he sees, we know not. And who opened his eyes, we know not also." You see, they were very careful in answering these Jews. Now, they were in fear of being excommunicated from the Jewish church. There were two excommunications. The first one was but a faint one. That was for 30 days they were not allowed to assemble with the rest of the Jews in the temple. But the other one was a final exclusion from the worship of God to Jerusalem. And they were not allowed anymore. This was the excommunication that these parents feared. That if they would confess that it was Christ, they would be cast out of the church. And now these parents, they must have marveled too at the wonder that had taken place with their son. Just imagine if it was one of your own children, and he had grown to that age, and such a miracle happened to him. Why, they couldn't get over it, I don't think. They probably had done everything possible to try to get this man to see, but nothing could make him see. But now all of a sudden he saw it was a miracle. And now these Jews, they didn't believe this either. And they went to the man again, and they spoke to him again, and they said, "Who made thy eyes open?" "Well," he says, "I told you once," he says, "if I tell you again," he says, "will you believe it? Will you be his disciples?" In other words, do you want to follow him? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he's done this miracle to me? These Jews, they didn't believe this. And they wouldn't believe it either. And they questioned this man, speaking unto him and trying to get him to say something against Christ. But this man, he had been so inwardly taught already by the Spirit of God that he couldn't do anything else but speak well. And when they questioned him again and said, "How is it that your eyes are open, and who opened your eyes?" "Well," he says, "a man called Jesus. He put clay on my eyes, and I washed and I see." And now these Jews, they said unto him, "Give God the praise," they said. "We know that this man is a sinner." Just imagine what they said. Here this man was trying to praise Christ for what he had done for him, and they wanted him to give God the praise. They wouldn't give God the praise of what had happened to this man. And they said, "We know that this man is a sinner." Oh, it struck me when I read that. I thought, if that was true, there wouldn't be salvation in this world for nobody. If what these Jews said, "We know that this man is a sinner," it's lost for every one of us, my hearers. Oh, he was without sin. He was the immaculate Lamb of God, who God had sent into this world for sinners. And now these Jews, they sinned very greatly when they said, "We know that this man is a sinner." But now this blind man, who had his eyes open, he said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not." He couldn't judge. He had never seen Christ. He had never seen any of his actions. He had been blind. How could he make a proper judgment of Christ whether he was a sinner or not? "Whether he was a sinner or no," he says, "I know not." But he says, "One thing I know." He says, "That I was blind and that I now see." He made a proper judgment of what had happened to him, all right. He knew what had taken place with him. "One thing I know," he says, "I was blind, but now I see." My hearers, can you say that? Has that ever taken place in your life? Can you say that with the blind man, "One thing I know, that I was blind, but now I see"? I was blind, blinded by the god of this world, blinded by the lust and the passions of my nature, blinded, it may be, even by spiritual guides. So many people are being blinded. They're being led by blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, my hearers, what an awful eternity awaits both of them. My hearers, if you may truthfully and honestly open your heart before God and say, "Lord, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." What do you see? Why, you see as you never saw before. You see you're a sinner. You see your lost. You see that if God must act according to his justice, he must damn you. He must send you to hell, and you give into it. You say, "That's what I deserve." But you also are given to see that in God there is mercy, there is compassion, there is forgiveness. In the person of his dear son, Jesus, you see that there is salvation for poor, lost sinners. And your only hope is in Christ. You say within, "If I don't find him, if I don't possess him, it's a lost matter with me. I must have him." And now, who has given you to see this? Who has given you to feel this? Ask your neighbor. Ask somebody that lives with you. Do they feel that way? Are they anxious to find Christ? Are they desirous after him? They don't have any need for him. The dead don't have any need for Jesus. No, my hearers, if you may honestly say this, what this man said, you are on the way of life. You are on your way to meet Jesus, and you will have, like this man, had a revelation of him someday to your immortal soul. And now this man is in the temple, and he's disputing with these lawyers, these men that were the sages, the learned of those times. And they're questioning him, and they said unto him, "That who this man is, we know not. Where he came from, what his doctrine is, they didn't know." They're speaking about Christ. And now this man says, "Isn't that a wonder?" He says. He says, "It never was heard in the world," he says, "that a man that was born blind was given his sight." Oh, how he exalts Jesus. Oh, how he lifts him up as he who had given unto him to see and to give that wonderful blessing of sight. This man, he couldn't do anything else but glorify Christ. These Jews were seeking to have him say something against Christ, but he couldn't. And he said, "It was never heard in this world." No, it never was, my hearers. Not even Moses, whom they believed in and whom they said they were disciples of. Not even Moses had made such a miracle that he cured somebody that was born blind. And the miracles that Christ done when he was here upon earth, and no one ever did before, they were wonderful works. They all glorified him and his Father in heaven above. And therefore this man spake in this way, "It never was heard since the world began," he says, "that a man that was born blind, he says, was given seed." And isn't that a wonder, he thought in himself, that you do not accept him, that you do not believe this miracle that has taken place with me? He couldn't understand why that they couldn't believe that. They had the miracle in the front of them. They didn't need anything else. But no, they wouldn't accept it. They said unto him, "And what sayest thou of him?" Well, he says, "He's a prophet." Oh, yes. If these Jews had been anxious to search into the history of Christ and had followed his life here below, they would have found out that what this man says was true. He was a prophet. He had been promised by Moses, "A prophet shall the Lord my God raise up unto you who shall be great amongst the people and do many wonders. And here he was amongst his own people, and they received him not, they rejected him, they turned away from him. And now this man, he is questioned further by these rulers and by these Pharisees and Jews in the temple. And all the while they're trying to get something that he would say something against Christ. And my hearers, and he begins to speak unto them and says unto them, do you want to be his disciples? They said, his disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that Moses came from God. We know that Moses was used by God and spoke by God through him. But this man we know not. And he's arguing with these Jews, and finally these Jews, they cast him out of the temple. And they couldn't accept what this poor man was saying to them. This man that had never learned, that was illiterate, he was bold enough to speak in the midst of the temple to all these people that were there and come out for Christ, and they cast him out. My hearers, everyone that follows the Lord Jesus Christ shall be persecuted for the truth's sake. And now they cast him out. Some say that they told their servants to put him outside the door. Others said that they kicked him out. Others think that he was excluded from the worship of the temple, that he was cast out of the Jewish church. He was excommunicated. My hearers, it isn't too bad to be excommunicated from an ungodly church, from a church where error is being taught. If for the truth's sake they cast you out, you will find that Christ will find you. If you come out for the truth and abide for the truth, you will find Jesus to take it up for you, regardless of how many enemies you may make. See it in this man. He was cast out of the church because he testified for Jesus and came out for his name, and they threw him out. My hearers, it's an awful thing to be excommunicated from a good church for something that you did wrong, something that a consistory has to act upon and has to excommunicate you. It's an awful thing to be excommunicated. The Word of God says, that which is bound here below will be bound in heaven, and that which is unbound here will not enter into heaven. Believe me, my hearers, it's an awful thing to be excommunicated. May God keep you from such things. May your lives and your conversation be consistent with your profession, so that you will never have to be excommunicated. This man was cast out, but he was cast out because he testified for the truth. And when Jesus heard that he had been cast out, we find that Jesus went to him. He had never seen Jesus. He didn't know what Jesus looked like. And still he had testified so wonderfully of him in the temple. I wonder if there are any here that have done that. Oh, the love of Christ, the Apostle Paul says, constraineth me. And you may have that love in your soul without seeing him, without knowing him personally for your own heart and soul as your Savior. And still you come out for his truth, you defend his truth, you love his truth, and sometimes you have such love for it that you're ready to die for it, and still you don't know him. Oh, they could cast you out sometimes too, you wouldn't care. If it was for that, let them do what they want with you. That's the way it was with this blind man. And now we find that Christ went to him. And when Christ found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe in the Son of God? Are you ready to believe in him? Are you ready to accept him as the Messiah? Are you ready for a manifestation of him? And he said unto him, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? And then the Lord Jesus said, it is he that speaketh with you and that is before you. The Lord Jesus Christ manifested himself unto this man. Oh, what a wonder this was for this man, my hearers. For he fell down and he worshipped him and he said, I believe. He was given then to believe in the Son of God. And you see in this likewise, my hearers, that we have to be cast out. It isn't a pleasant experience spiritually to be cast out, my dear, to be emptied and to be led from vessel to vessel and have nothing left anymore, nothing. To be a cast out. And then Jesus comes. He came to this man. And then Jesus, he spake to him in that way. I said in prayer, suppose Jesus came to you and I and said that. Dost thou believe me, Son of God? What would you say? Answer it now inside. What would you say? Do you believe in him? Would you do like so many people do today? Or are there so many believers today? It's so simple to believe. It's so easy. It truly is if God gives you to do it. There ain't anything easier and simpler than when God gives you to do it. But if you do it yourself, what profit is there in that? So many people do it themselves today. And they think by doing that, they're saved. Talk to them. Oh, they're on their way to heaven. My hearers, when God begins a work of grace in your soul, you'll find out how hard it is to believe. You can't believe unless he gives you to believe. You know, we are like the Jews of old. We need signs and we need wonders to believe. And except we have these, we don't believe. And this is some wonder that every one of God's children that haven't had it yet are looking for. They're looking to believe, if they only could believe. Isn't that your trouble, Saul, that's listening to me? Oh, if you only could believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you only could say he's mine, my Lord and my God, like Thomas said. If you only could do like this blind man, fall down and worship him. Oh, that would be sufficient, you say. Let me die right there. Then I know I would be with him. But oh, I don't believe in him. I can't believe in him. I want to believe, but I can't believe in him. Isn't that your trouble? Isn't that your problem? Oh, there'll be a day coming when you will be given to believe. I hope it may be so. I hope that the Lord Jesus may manifest himself to your immortal soul. And then you will believe. You will be filled with joy and peace in believing. Oh, what happiness you will experience in your immortal soul. If you ever have been given to believe for a few moments in this life, you know something of this joy and of this happiness. It lifts a person above this earth. It lifts a person into heaven itself, and that person will want to be there. Believe me, I've had it. I know what I'm talking about. Oh, to believe for a few moments that Jesus loves you, that Jesus let his body be broken for you. Oh, that Jesus manifests himself and is through his word and spirit to your soul. You would wish then that you had the wings of an angel or the wings of a dove and you'd fly away. Oh, may God grant that this experience of this blind man may be your and my experience in this life, and that we together may be given to believe in the Son of God and find that he is our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. This concludes our lesson for today.